This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
It's week five of the official Raiders podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, JT. A busy podcast today as the Raiders and this podcast look to get back to basics as the Raiders are set for the first of three straight home games, kicking off with the Baltimore Ravens this Sunday at the Coliseum. Big spot for both teams. Both teams are riding a two-game losing streak. Obviously, the loser of this game will have three losses in a row. Neither team wants to be in that spot, and both teams expected to do much better this year. For the Raiders, I think it's the perfect time for them to come home. When the schedule came out and we knew that the Raiders would have their first three out of four on the road, what'd you think? 3-1? Not many thought 4-0, and now the Raiders are 2-2. It's not sky is falling. The last time the Raiders played at home, they annihilated the Jets 45-20. That's the last time Raider fans saw the Raiders play on their home field. Now with three in a row at home, the Raiders got to find a way to try to stretch some wins together and get back into the win column, and they'll face a wounded animal in the Baltimore Ravens. And this has been a bit of a rivalry over the last couple of years. They played last year on October 2nd. The Raiders won that tight game 28-27. Raiders coming off the loss to Denver 16-10 last Sunday in a game where Derek Carr got hurt. We'll get into that in the podcast. And E.J. Manuel came in as the backup and had the ball late with an opportunity to win the game. As we record this podcast, we're waiting on the status of Derek Carr. Initially in the week, it was 2 to 6 weeks with his back injury. He could come back sooner than that. We'll talk about that with Rich Gannon coming up in a little bit, one of the great Raider quarterbacks to play in the last 25, 30 years. What a career Gannon had. Also, Rob Ryan, former defensive coordinator of the Silver and Black, will join us. We'll go out to Alameda to talk to Eddie Pascal, senior writer for the Silver and Black, and Jason Lockenfora from CBS, who's one of the best NFL insiders out there, and he knows the Baltimore Ravens because that's where he's based. For the Raiders, I've been sensing on my radio shows and talking to Raider fans that Raider fans are very concerned about the next couple of weeks because the quarterback is down in Derek Carr, and rightfully so. Derek was playing at an MVP level last year when he broke his leg/ankle on Christmas Eve, and we know what happened after that. Marshawn Lynch we'll get into on this podcast and the Raiders' running game or lack thereof. Is he not hitting the holes or are the holes not open? I'll address that right out of the gate. I think the Raiders are struggling as we speak because the offensive line is not playing to their ability. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. When healthy, this is one of the best offensive lines in all of football. They're that good, they could be that dominant, and now it's time for this offensive line to step up and have a big game here. E.J. Manuel was a former number one pick, first-round pick. He's a really good player. Might have got thrown into it a little too early in Buffalo. Played in big games in college. I think he's up to the challenge in this game. The offense needs to rally around E.J. Run the ball with Marshawn, DeAndre, Jalen, and get some momentum going. And again, it's back to this offensive line needing to step up. I think that EJ in this game will make throws that he's comfortable making. He's got to get everybody involved, including Amari Cooper. The Raiders need to get him built back again with confidence. He is a freak. He is a great player. He's had a case of the drops. I think that if they can get him going early in this game, hopefully that'll be good because EJ is physically a really big guy, has a very strong arm. He can see the entire field. He can run if he has to, but I think EJ is really good at scanning the entire field and letting to see these plays open up downfield so he can make big plays. I don't think he's going to get rattled. I think he was put in this spot for a reason. He can handle it. And I think this is the time if the offensive line becomes road graders again and protects EJ, the Raiders are the better team. They lost to the Redskins badly and could have beat the Broncos. Now with the Ravens, Chargers, and Chiefs all coming back to back to back, it's time for the Silver and Black to get going. This Baltimore team's got Terrell Suggs. He already has 3 sacks, but the Raiders have Khalil Mack, who had 2 sacks and 7 tackles in his last game. 10 sacks for the Raiders in 4 games so far this year. Taking a look at some of the key stats in this game, the Raiders 28th. In total offense, Baltimore, 30th in total offense. the Raiders, 28th in third down passing. Their offense has to do a better job executing on third down. And how about this for a big stat? Baltimore, 32nd dead last in passing offense at 142.5 yards a game. They're only averaging 15 points a game, the Ravens. That's 30th in the league. So Joe Flacco has been struggling. These defenses, when it comes to scoring defense, almost identical. The Raiders rank 13th, giving up 19.8 points a game. The Ravens giving up an even 20, ranked at 14th. So after four games, I told you on earlier podcasts, we have stats now. More than trends, we could look at quarterback rating, rushing yards, and try to figure this out. But what a bizarre start to the season. After a 2-0 start, these last 2 weeks have been rough. Injuries, lackluster play. The coaches and these players are expecting to come together after a great week of preparation and get back home in front of the home fans of the Silver and Black and turn this around. Plenty of football left, but the schedule opens up now with home games in Oakland where the Raider fans are expecting victories. Kicking us off, let's start it with Rich Gannon. What a run Rich Gannon's been on. He's a fantastic analyst for CBS, and you know him as a premier former quarterback of the Silver and Black. You take a look at the career of Rich Gannon and what he was able to accomplish when he came to the Silver and Black. Rich is a four-time Pro Bowler, two-time first-team All-Pro. He was the NFL MVP in 2002 and the two-time AFC Offensive Player of the Year. We welcome Rich Gannon to the official Raiders podcast. And, Rich, what have you seen from the Raiders in the last two performances?
Well, look, you know, you hate to lose a guy like Derek, and you look at how productive that team has been when he's been healthy and the struggles they've had when he's not been in the lineup. Even when he was healthy, though, the last 2 weeks have not been good. I mean, you go back to Washington, they really stymied him. And, of course, you know, Denver's got a great defense. They've got good corners and pass rushes, so it makes it difficult. And so the problem they're having is the running game. They're not getting a lot out of the running game right now with Marshawn Lynch. And third down's been awful. I think they're 2 of 23 in the last two games on third down. So if you're not converting third down, you put yourself into some big numbers, and that's the problem right now. They're just not playing well collectively, but you know, I thought E.J. came in last week and actually threw the ball pretty well, made some good plays. He's got to eliminate the mistakes. That's kind of, you know, the decision-making was what really haunted him a little bit for his time in Buffalo. But I would think another week under his belt and, you know, just making sure that he's comfortable with the plan. They built a plan around what he does well would probably be the best advice going forward.
Rich, I'm not shocked, but I'm very surprised by the play of the offensive line. You played behind a great offensive line with your time, especially on the Super Bowl run with the Raiders. And I look at KO and Gabe Jackson, Rodney Hudson. Penn held out, but he came back in time. And when those four players are playing at their best, they're all Pro Bowlers. Where's the push? Where's the road grading? Why are they not going downhill? And they're actually getting pushed back into Derek Carr before the injury.
Yeah, they've got to play better. I don't think there's any question about that. And that's a bit of a surprise when you think about how that offensive line was built, the resources, the money that have been spent to really keep that group together. And the fact that they have some continuity, the communication's good, and they've got to play better. I would say that, in fairness, though, look at what the Broncos have done, their run defense, to, you know, the last four opponents. I mean, they've been phenomenal. Not a lot of teams have been able to run the football against them. But look, they've got to play better. You know, I think Jack Del Rio summed it up best. But you can't point the finger at any one person. I mean, coaches got to do a better job. Players got to do a better job. They got off to a good start, and then the last 2 weeks, they can't seem to get out of their own way. But the Redskins really got after them defensively, followed up by a pretty good performance from the Broncos. And I think people are going to go back, look at what the Redskins and Broncos both did to them schematically. You know, not having Crabtree out there hurts significantly. And on top of that, you look at Amari Cooper right now, JT, he's not separating. He's not winning the one-on-one matchups. And that's a problem right now for the Raiders.
Rich Gannon joins us from CBS. Rich, on Amari, he put on 10 pounds of muscle in the offseason. He looks incredible. Do you see a confidence issue with him? The drops are there, even great receivers. They go through a stretch, but this has been going back to last year. What would you personally do as a quarterback to take a receiver, a young receiver like him aside, and mentally get him going again and at least talk through the drops and elaborate on the separation you're talking about, because that hasn't been a problem in the past?
Well, I think it's important to get him off to a good start. You know, even when I was with Tim Brown and Jerry Rice, we talked a lot about, you know, the first 15 plays, the first 20 plays. Let's make sure these guys get touches. Let's make sure these guys get their confidence, get in the groove. I mean, it doesn't make a difference if you're a 10- or 15-year receiver. You still want these guys to get in the rhythm and a feel for the game early. And so that's important. I think you got to do some creative things with Amari Cooper in terms of maybe moving him around a little bit, get him some stack releases and some and bunch sets where he can get a free release. And, you know, the one thing when you study him a little bit right now, though, is we talked about winning the one-on-one battles. And, like, I watched the game last week and a couple times, even on some quick slant routes. I mean, he's not doing a good enough job, in my opinion, of really working the corner to create that separation. Maybe it's an extra step. Maybe it's a little bit of a head move or something. You know, I just think for him, it's getting back to the basics of the techniques and fundamentals of being a really good route runner. And I just think really you're repping it, but they need him. They need him to step up in a big way, because you look at where they're at right now, and especially without Derek in there, they're going to need some big plays from their perimeter players.
Rich, with Marshawn Lynch, I watched all the games and I went back and looked at the tape of him. I don't think it's his fault. I don't think there are holes for him to run through. And there are a lot of analysts on television and people who aren't watching the Raiders play in and play out that says, well, maybe he lost a burst or he can't. That's not the case here. These plays, Rich, are getting blown up a yard deep, and he's not able to hit holes because they're not open. What do you think is going to happen with Lynch? This is a really important question because, you know, Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington and Olawale can make plays, and they do have a burst, and their touches are going to be limited. What do you think the conversation is like now in Alameda when they try to fit in Marshawn Lynch from week five and beyond, when these games are really tough and important at home?
Well, I still think he has a role in that offense. I mean, he can be a finisher at late games. You know, we know about what he can do down in the red zone and short yards and goal line situations. I think he brings an attitude and a toughness to that offense, which is important. I don't think you want to deviate away from that too much, but, you know, it's tough because when you think about how he was utilized in that offense in Seattle, I mean, he was a 25-touch guy a game, and I don't know that he's going to get that with the Raiders. And I think, you know, that's what you got to figure out with him. I think he's a guy that seems to get better, JT, with each carry. You know, he's the guy when he gets lathered up late in the game and he gets rolling, you know, he can rip off some big runs. And I think, you know, that's the type of back that he is. You know, a back that seems to get stronger as the game goes on, and a back that can wear down a defense. That's not really what the Raiders are going to ask him to do, I don't think, even moving forward. It may be a little bit more when you look at E.J. Manuel being in there, but when Derek's in there, I mean, that offense is going to go as far as Derek can take him with his right arm.
Wrapping it up with Rich Gannon. Rich, can you take us back to a moment in your career where you had to address the team or look at the team? And not so much early in the season. We're through four games. The Raiders are 2-2, but Kansas City, after their Monday night win, really looks like the real deal. The Raiders just lost to a division rival in the Denver Broncos, where you sat down with the O-line, looked in the eyes of these guys and said, hey, we got to get this thing moving right now. It's time to start gelling again. Can you share a story like that with our audience?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I think it's a prideful group. I think they'll play. I think they'll come back and play well together. And, you know, I think they take a lot of pride in their preparation performance. It's not, I don't think I'd put it all on the offensive line. I mean, collectively as a group, the offense has not performed well the last 2 weeks against the Redskins and the Broncos. I would go back to the Super Bowl season of 2002. You know, we started 4-0. We were playing really well. And then we went on that four game stretch where we lost a lot of close games. We lost four in a row. So, you know, look, this is a long season, JT, as you know, a lot can happen. I still think the Raiders are an outstanding football team, a team that went 12-4 last year, and it's got a chance to win the division. It's going to come down to December football. I believe that, but they need to get Derek back. I mean, that's, you know, you don't know how long he's going to be out, but he is such a difference maker. He just confidence and not having him in there, I'm very curious to see what direction this offense goes in the next couple of weeks.
You're not a doctor, but is that an injury that you bring a guy back? If it's a 2 to 6 week injury and you got Kansas City on a short week on in 3 weeks, really, on a Thursday night nationally, do you hold them out for that game and then make them wait for an extra bye week until the following Sunday? How do you think that plays out? Or what do the conversations sound like, Rich?
Well, knowing Derek like I do, my sense is he's going to be closer to 2 weeks, 6 weeks. I'd be surprised if it's 6 weeks. Again, I don't know the specifics of the injury other than it is a fracture in the back. I know the guy's tough. You got to let it heal up. I think it's really one of those situations where it's just how much pain is there when he tries to throw the football. I think once you let it calm down and you see where he's at, gets treatment, and he begins the throwing process again, we'll have a better sense of where he's at. But my sense is he'll be back sooner than later.
Always appreciate Rich Gannon. One quick story on Rich. Working for the Raiders for 19 years, when Gannon was leading the Raiders in the playoffs and on that Super Bowl run, there was a game that we landed late one night. I think it was 1:32 in the morning. And, you know, John Gruden's always the first one up, and Coach Gruden always wanted to be there first. So I went back to the facility because I had a flight, and I was traveling to L.A. at 6 in the morning. So I got back to the facility, went into the studios, the Silver and Black production, and just tried to stay awake for a few hours before I had to go back to the airport. Who walks in right behind Coach Gruden at 3:15 in the morning but Rich Gannon, one of the hardest workers I've ever seen. And I really believe the Raiders have that in Derek Carr. He's a passionate worker. He wants to get better. He breaks down film. Rich Gannon left a tremendous legacy with the Silver and Black. And when I think of with Rich, I think of work ethic. Jason Lockenfora joins us next on the Official Raiders Podcast. One of the premier NFL insiders, does a great job for CBS. Jason, thanks for joining us, and you're in Baltimore. Which team in your mind is in more trouble, the Raiders or the Ravens?
Wow. It hasn't been real good for either team the last few weeks, and I certainly didn't see that beatdown coming that the Raiders took in Washington a few weeks back. But Baltimore's really been pummeled here two straight weeks, and it hasn't been close. I mean, the Pittsburgh score, if you just looked at the score, you might think that, you know, well, maybe it wasn't that way, one-way traffic, but it was. Who's in worse trouble? I mean, the Derek Carr injury, from everything I'm hearing, maybe as little as one game out. And now you never want your quarterback hurt, even for a game or two, and especially when it's, you know, a back issue. But we've seen guys come back from this in the past and able to put it behind them. So I think Baltimore's in worse shape right now, to be honest with you. They were supposed to be an elite defensive team that would have to be truly, truly elite if they were going to keep this offense afloat. And it's turned out that the offense is every bit as bad as anyone in Baltimore would have feared. And the defense, while opportunistic the first 2 weeks of the season, hasn't been real good and hasn't been elite. And despite not facing, you know, murderer's row of offenses, that they've been really exposed in the run game since Brandon Williams got hurt. And for all the money they've spent on their secondary, they've had issues there as well with communication and coverage. So I think the Ravens are in a bit of dire straits here, and they need to win some games quickly before this season starts getting away from them.
Jason Lockenfora is our guest. What's interesting to me, they get that great win to open the season at Cincinnati. We see the trouble that Cincinnati's in now. Ravens won that 20-0. They get the bye by playing the Browns. Everybody beats the Browns. But walk me through what happened and the conspiracy theorists that I talked to about the game in London where they got hammered 44-7. Did they not travel correctly? Should they have went out there sooner? What was the backstory there?
Yeah, they in hindsight would have done some things differently. You know, excuse me, Jacksonville, they don't go out until Thursday a lot of times now because they've been playing over there for 3 or 4 years and they're committed to play over there through 2020. And a lot of their players spend time over there in the offseason as well, helping promote the team and et cetera. So it's kind of old hat for them. The Ravens, though, had never been over there before and really, frankly, didn't want to be over there. And the coach was never all that excited about having to play that game. And they took an overnight flight on Thursday to try to get acclimated to what they had to do. They picked a hotel that was too far out of the city. Took them 45 minutes with traffic getting to do some of the commitments they had to do over the weekend. Their schedule was a little off. They just weren't ready to play football. And none of that's an excuse because this stuff, you know, they've known for a long time they were playing in London, and the schedule was set in April. So, you know, shame on them if they, you know, created more problems for themselves by not adapting soon enough. But they weren't ready to play. And then they also protested the anthem as a team for the first time that weekend, and you had guys, you know, who were sort of upset about how that played out. It was strange. I mean, you had Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Jonathan Ogden, former star players, on the sidelines there too. And I don't know, man. That one got away from them almost before it started. They were literally, you know, pummeled by Jacksonville from the first snap to the last. And then Pittsburgh pretty much did the same thing. It doesn't show up in the scoreboard as much, but the Baltimore Ravens offense, the last two halves of football, so the first half against Jacksonville and the first half against the Raiders, and then against the Steelers, that's 60 minutes of football. They've held the ball for 18 minutes and 58 seconds. That's it. They've run 42 offensive plays for 97 yards. Think about that. That's hard to do in professional football. Imagine a team starting a drive at their own three and needing 42 plays to go 97 yards. We just don't see that happen in the NFL. They've been outscored 43-0 in those two halves of football. They don't come ready to play. Joe Flacco is not a fast starter, even when he was in his prime, and he doesn't look right at all. The knee, the back, whatever's going on there, he's not right. They're not a professional grade offensive football team right now. They just aren't. And then having to go to London and all that, and then playing a division rival at home and getting booed by the home crowd, it has not been a good couple of weeks. And maybe they make a stand here and reclaim their season, or maybe they're the team that a lot of people feared they'd be, which is one that's still not ready to get to the postseason and that doesn't have personnel on either side of the ball.
Jason Lockenfora joins us on the official Raiders podcast from CBS. I think the storylines, Jason, and you come on my radio show all the time for this game, is so huge because these teams have seen each other over the last couple of years as a rivalry going back to when Siragusa fell on Gannon and cost the Raiders a trip to the Super Bowl. Cars look good at times against the Ravens. He's not in the game. EJ Manuel. I want to concentrate on the Raiders for a second here. Does it feel, and you cover the sport nationally, does it feel that the Raiders really got to circle the wagons here and get going with this offensive line? The offensive line is the advantage that the Raiders have over these other teams, and I can't believe the performance from this unit. I expect them to step up Sunday at home against the Ravens.
I would think they do as well. I mean, the Redskins' D-line is playing better than a lot of us figured it might, and Tom Sula's got a lot to do with that. You know, and they brought it against Kansas City pretty good last week as well. So that's probably a better group than we thought. And obviously Denver, I mean, we know their pass rush. We know what that team's capable of. You know, throwing a mile high, that's never an easy gig. So this should be a get-right game for the Raiders. I mean, Brandon Williams is still out. He's the run stuffer. He's the guy who makes everything go from the Ravens' defense. Without him, you get a whole lot more of Pierce as the primary run defender, the anchor. He doesn't have Brandon Williams' push. He doesn't have Brandon Williams' girth and size and strength. Everybody's got to do a little more. And then now Dean Tease, a defensive coordinator who's fairly conservative by nature, he's even less inclined to bring numbers on the blitz because he's worried about, I don't have my anchors there, and we're already vulnerable up front. Suggs got off the first 2 weeks. Haven't seen him much the last 2 weeks. The pass rush has disappeared. I don't know, man. I think they got one sack the last 2 weeks from a slot corner / safety, Ladarius Webb. They've got issues. They've got issues. Maybe they'll start playing some of the kids they drafted, like Timmy Williams in the third round, a little bit more and trying to generate some pass rush in that regard. They signed Tony Jefferson at $9 million a year safety. He's primarily an in-the-box safety. They're playing a lot of cover, too. I see him getting beat in coverage. That's not who he is. He's basically a glorified linebacker, you know, a thumper in the box. He should be helping the run game, but we haven't seen that much of that. I think this is a game where the Raiders can reestablish their dominance in the trenches and maybe get right in some ways. And on the flip side, anybody who watched that game in Baltimore last year, and I believe Marshall Yanda was still healthy at that point. I mean, he was hurt a lot last year, but the Ravens had a semblance of a better offensive line a year ago. And Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin, those guys ate lunch. I mean, they were in Flacco's kitchen that whole Sunday, it seemed. And that could be a pretty good matchup for the Raiders as well. And scouts I've talked to like the way Mario Edwards is coming on. So, yeah, I tend to like the Raiders at home in this matchup.
Wrapping up with Jason Lockenfora, we just had your colleague Rich Gannon on talking about the offense, obviously, his expertise. He's such a great analyst. But Todd Downing, as the new offensive coordinator, the reason why I wish Carr was healthy, I wanted to see the adjustments that Downing's going to make in this game if Carr was healthy. Now he's got E.J. Manuel. I would assume you would agree he's probably going to simplify the offense here, get the ball out quickly. But do you think that Downing now looking at Marshawn Lynch, there hasn't been holes. They have Jalen Richard, DeAndre Washington. Jared Cook dropped a couple of big balls, and he gets open, which is the positive there. But do you think Downing's going to make adjustments to be more aggressive when Carr comes back, or maybe just get back to basics? What's his philosophy going forward?
Well, you know, I think it'll depend somewhat week to week where the matchups are, who you're facing. Does he have a healthy Crabtree moving forward, or doesn't he? Does this back injury linger for Carr, or is it really a 1 week blip and there's no nothing holding him back? I mean, I think there's a lot of variables there. You know, Marshawn Lynch, is he closer to Adrian Peterson or Kareem Hunt right now? You know what I mean? Week one looked closer to Kareem Hunt, but since then, you know, I don't know. And you know, to your point about the holes not being there and the offensive line not being what we thought it would be, that obviously has something to do with it. But in the short term, I think you go, you know, the old KISS philosophy, keep it simple, stupid, right? I mean, you're not going to ask E.J. Manuel to do too much. He can complete one or two long balls, but, you know, a lot of short passes. Try to establish a territorial dominance on the ground in the run game against the D-line that, again, is missing its best D-tackle and has been vulnerable against the run the last few weeks. They got, they got gashed to the outside repeatedly by Le'Veon Bell last week. Now, he's a special back, but I'm sure they'll see a few things off film the last few weeks that they think they can dictate. I mean, Fournette got them pretty good. So I would think you play this game fairly conservative. You don't want Manuel. The way the Ravens win the game is turnover. I mean, they turn opposing quarterbacks over 10 times the first 2 weeks of the season. I mean, when they're on, they have that ability. You know, so I think you mitigate that. You run the ball. You try to keep that defense on the field. Baltimore's defense been on the field a ton the last 2 weeks. You try to drain them early in the run game. Maybe set a few things up in play action. But don't ask E.J. Manuel to win the game. Just have him keep you from losing it.
You can always check out Jason Lockenfora through CBS. Also, his Be More Opinionated podcast is one of the better ones I also download. Let's go out to a former defensive coordinator from the Silver and Black. I was really excited that he wanted to come on the Official Raiders podcast. Rob Ryan has been a coach with seven different teams, a two-time Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots before he came to the Raiders as their defensive coordinator from 2004 to 2008. Now doing a really nice job as a football analyst for Fox and Fox Sports One. Rob, thanks a lot for coming on. I really appreciate it. It looks like you're having a ball on TV. How you been?
Oh, doing great, JT. It's been a few years, but I get a chance to listen to you quite a bit. And as usual, you're dominating.
Thank you, my friend. And I loved working with you with the Silver and Black because you're the type of guy that wore your emotion on your sleeves all the time, but were focused and put together these incredible defensive game plans. Now the Raiders are taking on the Ravens, and I look at the Raiders after their last two losses. The Ravens have lost two in a row. Something's got to give in this game. The Raider defense, is it a little bit better than you thought coming out of the preseason?
Well, I know the Ravens defense has Don Martindale, of course, my buddy out there when we were together. Of course, you remember Wink. And they're doing a good job. It's just their offense is so bad. So I think it's coming at the perfect time to give the Raiders a chance to get after their offense. The Ravens have a very poor offense. They're not playing with any confidence. They've got injuries to their offensive line. And so I think the Raiders will bounce back. They added John Pagano to shore up their pass coverage, you know, maybe give them some more coverage, you know, different kinds of coverages and maybe some more exotic pressures. But I think there's too much talent on that defense not to be a lot better than they are.
Rob, let's stay with Pagano, Ken Norton Jr., Jack Del Rio. As a head coach with defensive principles, Rod Woodson, a Hall of Famer, give us an experience for you when there were too many maybe cooks in the kitchen, too many people there, or not enough for you, because the Raiders got to be happy with all of the experience and knowledge that they have in these defensive meetings.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, Jack is Del Rio has been a head coach for a long time now, so I'm sure he's running the show on both sides, but not, you know, he's entrusting those guys on defense, you know, to do the job that they were hired to do, you know, which is, you know, stop them with the players they have. So I'm sure with that experience over there with Ken Norton and Pagano, which is just a matter of time to get on the same page. But, you know, sometimes when you're forced to do a certain defense or forced to do, you know, certain things, it just never works out for anybody. And I experienced a little bit of that in New Orleans, and, you know, not to get into particulars, but it didn't work out.
Rob Ryan is our guest, defensive coordinator of the Raiders from 2004 through 2008. Rob, let's go to Khalil Mack, because I saw Lawrence Taylor. He was my favorite player growing up and watching him. I've never seen a player change a game the way Lawrence Taylor did. But then recently I see Von Miller with a lot of those particular characteristics, and then along comes Mack, who I get a chance to see a lot, and he's humble and he's hungry, and you know him from your time in Buffalo as he came out of Buffalo playing in college. I just think the Raiders hit a home run with him long term, where he's got to be double teamed. He's breaking off these double teams and still making big plays.
No, he is a special talent, and you know, he does it a unique way. Not all speed, you know, and speed and quickness like Von Miller does, because he's also got exceptional power. So he really is. He reminds me of DeMarcus Ware back in his prime, and you know, he's so dominant. I was fortunate to coach DeMarcus for 2 years, and I mean, he really does tilt the field. You always have to slide your protection that way, or always have a chip guy over there. So it's a lot better to scheme with. You know, so you get to the quarterback with the other guys as well. And that's why Anthony Spencer had 11 and a half sacks playing opposite, you know, of DeMarcus. And also Jason Hatcher had 11 sacks. So, and of course, Jay Ratliff made the Pro Bowl. So it's easy to help when you have such a dominant player like Mack. The other guys should be dominated. They should take over as well.
Rob Ryan's our guest. Rob, let's go back and talk about you coming out of being a college defensive coordinator at Oklahoma State. You make the move to the Patriots, 2 Super Bowl rings. What a tremendous run as a linebacker coach. Walk me through Mr. Davis, the hiring process, and what led you to Oakland coming from New England.
Well, you know, we had won our second Super Bowl. Willie McGinnis had us go out to Hawaii, me and my wife. So we're sitting there on the beach, and then we got a phone call, and it was from Mark, Mike Lombardi, and he's like, "Hey, need to jump out here. You know, Coach Mr. Davis wants to interview." And I'm like, "Oh, heck yeah, I'll go out there." So I went out, and you know, shoot, it's pretty good honor when you walk in there. Norv's the head coach; he just hired him, but you know, I go right in to talk to Mr. Davis and talk defense for probably about 3 or 4 hours. And it was awesome. And then, you know, I was fortunate enough to hire some really good coaches, Don Martindale, Chuck Pagano came later, and to name a few. And it was really, you know, it was a chance in a lifetime, you know, something that you always want as a defensive coach, you know, position coach, you want a chance to be a coordinator. And it was my first chance. So it was pretty awesome. And then to go to third in the league with, you know, adding Warren Sapp and Derek Burgess and those players, you know, it was a thrill.
The experience with your brother and especially your legendary father, did that help you on the whiteboard in front of Mr. Davis? How did you get to the point? You know, you're the son of the great Buddy Ryan. You're sitting in front of Mr. Davis going over defenses and plays in an interview. I mean, this seems like a thing, Rob. You were prepped your entire life for that opportunity.
Well, there's no question. I mean, remember, I wasn't a defensive coordinator, like you said, at Oklahoma State and 1 year at a junior college. So, you know, I knew a heck of a lot of defense. And before that, I interviewed with a guy named Bill Belichick for 6 hours out in New England when he hired me. So I wasn't in awe of anything. I just knew that I was in the midst of greatness, and I was going to show them that I was great as well. And it worked out. It was you know, so much fun to be a part of you know, a defense that had been, you know, I think it was 32nd to 31st in the league before I ever got there. So we had some growing up to do. It was challenging to make Tyler Brayton an outside backer and Grant Irons, but you know, and develop Nnamdi Asomugha to watch him grow into you know, the best corner in football at the time. So there was a lot of great things there, but you know, I wasn't flinching. I was excited about the opportunity. You know, I've always admired Mr. Davis, but you know, I was just ready for that challenge.
Rob, as an analyst now, and as you break down film still, and you have sources and coaches and friends throughout the league, what frustrates you the most as a defensive mind? Is it corners that don't turn their head and cover? Is it lack of a pass rush? Is it defensive tackles that have to come off the field on third down because they're not able to stay on the field? When you're watching a game, what frustrates you the most on defense?
Well, I think, you know, I know as a coordinator for 12 years in the league and, you know, 13 with the assistant head coach with the Bills, I think we were in the top 10 in pass defense 7 of those years. So I think watching poor pass defense really gets frustrating. You know, when you see guys making mistakes on communication, on the same formations, you know, that gets frustrating. And especially, you know, as a coach, you've been there for countless hours all night long to make sure you've got the right check, the right style of play you want to have, and to watch a lot of mistakes going on, which you do see. Now, as an analyst, you can sit back and watch every game going, oh, that guy blew that coverage. Whoa, that one. You know, it's different than just being on your own sideline. So you see it. There's a lot more common problems out in the National Football League this year. It looks like guys are struggling more with communication, especially with the close formations, the cluster formations, and the bunches, you know, that you have to deal with and the empty formations, because as a defense coach, obviously, you have to be great on adjustments, and they have to be sound.
Rob, finally, what do you think with John Harbaugh, and you mentioned his staff, they're thinking now with Derek Carr out, we don't know how long Derek's going to be out for, but he played at an MVP level for most of last year until he got hurt on Christmas Eve. Now he comes back, the back injury. E.J. Manuel's going to come in for the Silver and Black against Baltimore. Remember, the Raiders only had one home game, and they've won it already against the Jets. They have three in a row now. Do you think that the Ravens are looking at the Raiders, and the Raiders are going to simplify everything for E.J., or do you think E.J. can step up in this offense and make all the plays that Carr's supposed to make to Crabtree and Cooper and get everybody involved?
Well, I know this. I know Carr is an exceptional quarterback. He's a super talented guy. He really makes that offense go. I know they changed coordinators last year, so the offense may be a little different than the one we saw, but Carr really made that thing go. E.J. Manuel's got a huge arm. He's a great kid. He works hard. He likes football. But I don't think he'll see the field or the coverages near as well as one of the premier quarterbacks in football, which is Carr. So I think they have to tone down a little bit, you know, let it play in the strengths of E.J. E.J. would Mr. Davis would have loved E.J. because he's got the huge arm, the huge size, and he'll throw the ball down the field. So, you know, which is good. It's just, you know, to me, they got to get the running game going, which will complement E.J. with the play actions and let him throw that ball down the field to those excellent receivers.
Rob, this means a lot, you coming on, and don't change a thing. I mean, you're hitting the ground running as a TV broadcaster, and everybody that I talk to behind the scenes at Fox and Fox Sports 1 are thrilled to have you, and I hope we can do this again and again because I really respect what you do.
Well, I really appreciate it. I know you're the best in the business, so that's a great compliment from you, but I'm looking forward to coaching again, and I'm trying to do the best not to get in the way of all these guys that do this for a living. They do a great job, and really is a pleasure getting to talk to you and obviously the Raider fan base.
How cool is Rob Ryan? I see him on TV again. Just leave him alone. Let him rant. Let him break down film and let him talk football. And you could tell the stories. He just loves the Raiders and that relationship that he had with Mr. Davis. Let's wrap it up by going right up to Alameda, the executive offices of Silver and Black Productions. Raiders insider, senior writer Eddie Pascal joins us. Eddie, let's start off first off with what was this week like for E.J. Manuel? How comfortable is he now in this offense?
Well, I think he's going to be very comfortable with this offense. I mean, this is not a guy, this is not a situation, you know, like last year when Derek goes down. You know, EJ's been in the league for 4 years. He's got 17 starts under his belt. And he said, you know what, my preparation this week isn't going to change at all. He goes, I head into each week like I'm going to be the starter, and that's what I'm going to do this week. I get to the facilities at the same time. I eat breakfast at the same time. I leave at the same time. You know, nothing really is going to change much for him, except for the fact that he's now taking all the reps with the ones. But I don't think there's going to be much that Todd Downing is going to throw at EJ that he hasn't seen before or he's not comfortable with. So, granted, he's not Derek Carr, and I don't think anyone expects him to be Derek Carr on Sunday, but EJ is more than capable of delivering a quality performance on Sunday against the tough Ravens defense.
Being at practice and knowing this team and being in the building, what do you think the bigger concern is? Getting the wide receivers going, first off, Crabtree, a health issue, but Cooper getting open. Why is he not getting open, or is the bigger problem the offensive line in either run blocking or pass protection?
You know, Todd Downing was asked about that this afternoon, and, you know, he said in the grand scheme of a season, you know, there's going to be ebbs and flows. There's ebbs and flows for a team, and there's ebbs and flows for individuals. And, you know, I don't think it's realistic at this point to expect, you know, 16 games of Amari Cooper, you know, going for 200 yards. And, you know, is he in a bit of a funk right now? Sure. But, you know, he is a talented premier wide receiver in this league. And it's just a matter of time before he gets going. And EJ Manuel is asked about, hey, how do you get Coop going? Can you get him going? And he said, you know what? He said pretty much the same thing. He goes, Amari is a very talented guy, and I'm going to put him in positions this Sunday to try to make plays and do just that. You know, you're not going to find many wide receivers in this league who are more dynamic, who are more powerful than Coop. And so I think it's just a matter of getting the ball in his hands and, you know, letting him kind of do what he does best.
Eddie Pascal is our guest. He joins us every week. Eddie, the defense has Khalil Mack, who is one of the best players in the sport, period. But with the injuries on the back end, trying to get everybody healthy, especially at the cornerback position, you know, they only gave up 16 points at Denver. And I thought that the defense were the unsung heroes in that game. They played their tail off at the end of that game to keep it manageable so EJ and the Raiders could come back and possibly win that game. Talk about the confidence level that Jack Del Rio has with this defense to have a big game in front of the fans Sunday in Oakland.
You're absolutely right. Without that defensive effort on Sunday, EJ Manuel and the Raiders offense, they won't have a chance to go in and win that game in the final 2 minutes. You know, I think that through four games through this first quarter of the season, the defense has been, you know, a very pleasant surprise. I think offensively heading into 2017, people knew what to expect from the Raiders. They knew about Derek Carr and Marshawn Lynch and Amari and Crabb. But defensively, there were a couple question marks heading into this year. But through the first four games, I think Ken Norton has done a great job with this group. And like you said, they've kept this team in the game the past 2 weeks. So I think that for them, it's just a matter of building on performance after performance, kind of stacking those wins, as Coach Del Rio likes to say. And, you know, they're a confident group heading into Baltimore. You know, Baltimore, they've had their struggles throwing the ball, but, you know, they are a top 10 rushing offense for a reason. So, you know, the Raiders are going to have their hands full, but with Khalil Mack and, like you said, and Mario Edwards Jr., who's had a really, really strong start to 2017, I think they're more than up for the challenge.
Eddie, last thing here, the confidence level. Very important from the organization on out to the fan base. A 2-2 team, not the end of the world. Give me a vibe in the building of the confidence level coming into the Ravens game.
You know, I think confidence fine. I mean, you know, Coach Del Rio is pretty even keel with, you know, going into a win, going into a lot. Doesn't really matter. And he said post-game, he goes, you know, are we happy to be 2-2? Certainly not, but that's what we've earned. You know, one thing that Coach continually preaches, he goes, you get what you earn in this league. And as of now, the Raiders have won. They have earned 2 wins. And I think that going into Sunday, they're going to try to earn their third against a very tough Baltimore team. But as far as confidence being shaken or any of that, I wouldn't be worried too much about this team going forward.
Thank you, Eddie. I'll see you next week. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Eddie. Always appreciate your work. Check out Eddie on Twitter, as he's always giving us the sights and sounds. In the building in Alameda. Thanks for joining us this week on the official Raiders podcast. Big one. Raiders get this one, and the Raiders are back on track in the win column, and we can get you ready next week for the podcast with the L.A. Chargers. Got to remember that. Been going to all those San Diego games over the years. Remember the last game in San Diego? 55,000 Raider fans. That game in Los Angeles will be on New Year's Eve. The Chargers come to town on October 15th, and we'll preview them next week. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, I'm JT. Thanks for joining us on the official Raiders podcast.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.